Oh, floppy baby.
Oh, hi. I love your temtem. Just got it all out there. Oh, the other one's in the hallway. Like, please,
Yep.
no, God,
Wait
no.
for it. Wait for
No,
it.
Father, help. He's been yoinked. Oh, he doesn't like it. The feet. Hi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Blair.
And I'm Kirsten, and we are
Mediocre Content.
And I am unwell, but we are here.
Literally every week, I feel.
It has
unwell
been a while.
In some shape or form.
Mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
I'm not going to lie, and this is not a brag. I actually feel pretty good, but
that's
maybe
good.
That's because
Not
I'm going
COVID.
on vacation
Yes.
next week. So that could be
good.
It. Yes.
It's going to be fantastic. Also, Happy New Year to everybody, because
yes.
when this episode comes out, we'll be essentially leaving this episode saying, see you next year.
That's totally true.
Which is the joke
totally
of every year.
Yeah, I said that to my coworkers on
Ew.
Friday, and they were like, wow, Blair, such a good joke. And I was Ew. Like, thank you so much.
It's so gross. It's perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. People are like, see you next year.
Like, yeah, you will.
You will, because I'll literally be here.
I'm still alive and will be suffering in the new year. All right. Okay.
I also don't mean to brag, but I'm kind of branded for this episode today.
You are. You look fabulous. I know the viewers cannot see, or the listeners cannot see.
The viewers.
The viewers.
The viewers would be able to see.
Okay.
That is for certain.
Yeah. No, it is true.
Yeah.
But she has a lovely gray tie-dye Diet Coke Spirit jersey on. And it's fabulous. I mean, it so much.
It's only the best soda ever.
It really is. And like, I'm going to say it again, because I know I've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke or do drugs or drink excessively. Mm-mm. I do drink Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. So if that's the worst thing, I really feel like it's fine.
Exactly.
Just saying.
We're doing okay.
I think I'm doing all right. Just saying.
It's true. Anyway.
All right. So I'm going to disclaim so we can just jump right in, get this together. Kirsten might sneeze during this. Forgive her. It's all right. So we are not experts on anything. I would like to think I'm a Diet Coke expert, but Lord knows that's not true. So if you've come here to get any kind of advice or info, if you choose to not drink Diet Coke, we support that. It's fine. You can still listen to the episode and learn about where it comes from and how it was made. But we are the place to learn about things, and we encourage you to do your own research. If you spy something that is not true in our Diet Coke lore, then please feel free to share it. otherwise, we're going to jump into the good news. Kirsten, take it away.
I shall also give us a shameless self plug and say that on our YouTube channel, we actually did a Coke versus Pepsi episode where we went through the individual company lore. So if you're interested in pursuing more soda direct content, you can visit our YouTube channel at our normal Mediocre Content podcast handle, because we also debate about the best sodas. And I think we end up talking about our favorite like brands as well. So
yes, indeed we did.
Anyhoodle, on to the more important things, like crazy orange cats, which I think is also very exciting.
Beautiful. I have a sleepy black cat right here next to me.
So precious. Sleepy little void. Well, Lynx is on my foot right now, keeping it very warm. Just one
How
foot,
kind.
Though. Yes.
So nice.
So if you don't know, orange cats are pretty wild, or they've been known to be pretty wild. And in general, it's said that in Italy specifically, it's said the red cat is always the leader in general, I guess. That's the lore there.
Cool.
That's because most red / orange cats are almost always male. And now we actually know why genetically. Working separately, reports Smithsonian Magazine, the two teams that were doing this particular study on the genealogy of the orange cats independently arrived at one conclusion, that there is a mutation on the X chromosome. Male animals, if you don't know, have a copy of the X chromosome, while females have two, explaining yet further why female cats with orange in their coats tend to be a mix of other colors, like a calico, for example, has orange, black, and white, or a tortoiseshell, like my Pumi Woomy, who is a diluted tortie.
Yeah.
And has tortitude.
So
that's a separate concern.
Yes.
The Kelly McGowan, a Stanford University geneticist who participated in one of the two studies, did say that cats are a fascinating exception to the trend of orange coloration in other animals, such as dogs, sheep, horses, and rabbits. In most other cases, mutations in a protein called MC1R lead to red hair, but not in cats. Instead, the identification of the gene ARH-GAP36 that codes for a protein along the X chromosome is actually the reason. This particular code has never been suspected as a potential candidate for the orange gene before, in part because the protein it codes for regulates embryonic development, which is a life or death function, if you don't know, and not somewhere you would look for something that's more aesthetic on the mammal. The Stanford University team that included McGowan also included Greg Barsh, and they together found that the mutation in orange cats resulted in 13-fold increase in the production of RNA. We're getting really sciencey. The molecule that reads the genetic material contained in DNA. Furthermore, they found that rather than being a dangerous mutation, orange had just a sliver of DNA missing from that ARHGAP36 gene, and that this absence meant its effects were seen only in melanocytes, or skin cells, that produce their hair color. So such a random mutation, and that's the reason. And the in particular, females inherit a copy of the X chromosome from both parents. So that influence of mutation is kind of balanced out by the other X chromosome that may have a normal balance of the X chromosome material. But since male cats only receive one X chromosome, if it's mutated, you're going to get an orange cat. So it's like, it's still kind of recessive, but not really, because recessive for humans, for example, means that you just need two parents that carry it and then you can have it. But in this case, all you need is one and you're orange.
Cute.
So now I will say that there is nothing in this study that indicates why that makes orange cats like batshit crazy. Just want to be very clear.
It's true.
There's nothing in there that says, oh, but this also makes them deranged. Separate studies need to come to other conclusions for that.
Yeah. I would also like to say too, and it'd be interesting to see, I know most like short hair black cats are boys.
Oh, interesting. It could be genetic.
Yeah. And like black girl cats are very rare. Not impossible, obviously, because there's cats that are black that are named like Luna and we assume that she's a girl. But yeah, there are many. Yeah. Most black cats are boys.
I do wonder if that means that most of a cat's coloration is defined by their chromosomes.
Probably.
You know?
Probably. I think also, I read something that, like, you know, because they have cats have litters. So there's usually the first cat, the first baby that's born has like a full coloration of one color. Whereas like the younger you get, so like the ones that are born afterwards have less, so you get like your tuxedos and your tabbies with like little patches everywhere and like that kind of thing, because like quote unquote the printer runs out of ink.
It might actually the chromosomes were like, we got too many.
Right, so there's a good chance that Salem was like the oldest in his litter because he's totally black, and then Jinx was like younger than him because he's tuxedo. So nice. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Cougar was definitely younger then, because she, I mean, she's a tabby with huge white patches.
Yeah.
Like her whole chest is white. Pumi has orange in her, but she's orange and gray because she's all diluted out, because maybe her printer also ran out of ink.
She's a watercolor.
She is a watercolor.
She's a watercolor calico.
I love that for her. She's so fancy.
She is.
Unless she's throwing up.
Anyway. So beautiful.
Even though it's after Christmas, my next piece of good news is titled Deck the Halls, I mean the pub, because that's really great. You should deck the halls and the pubs. People have been flocking specifically to Britain's most festive pub to see the newest seasonal creation, which is a 26-foot snowman made from 2,500 empty wine bottles, which is insanity.
That's a lot of wine.
That's a lot of wine. I'm assuming they collect it through the year and they're like, this is what we're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about that sound bite that used to have reduce, reuse, rikiki, and it just makes me laugh all the time. We say that way too much. It's like Billups lore. Anyway, the Queen Victoria Inn in Somerset, England, began hosting Christmas lights displays a decade ago as a way to raise money for charity. This year, the popular pub also features a huge wreath on the side of the building, a two-story structure covered in 55,000 white lights collected over the years, which stretches over 9 miles or 15 kilometers long. That's a lot of freaking lights. The snowman is made from a huge steel structure supporting the empty wine bottles collected by the pub and other restaurants in the area, and the thousands of lights will be switched on each day at 4 p.m. through 9 p.m. until New Year's Eve. So if you're hearing this on Tuesday, you got what? Literally today and tomorrow left. Well, I think it's just today, actually. If it comes out today, you better get over there. The 57-year-old estimates that over the years that he's spent around $50,000 for the display and energy bills, which, yeah, that's not too bad over the years. In the past 5 years, the display has raised more than £25,000 or $31,000. And for a local hospice, specifically the Children's Hospice Southwest, this year he hopes to raise over £5,000, and along with cash dropped placed in donation boxes, many of the contributions actually come from the internet, because the internet is crazy, via their Just Giving page. As part of their fundraiser for the hospice, the pub also hosted an annual Santa run on December 15th. And even though that has already passed, I will actually be linking two special things in the description today. Please go check it out. Number one is the page's Just Giving page. If you want to go support their, their yearly donations for their charities, please visit the link that's in there, and as well as a YouTube video that actually shows you exactly what the snowman looks like this year. So you can check him out before he comes down. And that's the good news.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kirsten. I'm definitely not eating my breakfast right now while definitely she's trying to not. Do that.
It's, you know, it's totally acceptable.
I just have like one more bite. Give me 1 second.
That was an excellent bite.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. We love it. Now you can wash it down with a Diet Coke if you had one.
If I had one, is correct.
It's also probably like, what, like 8 in the morning? 9 o'clock?
It is 10:30.
Oh, it's totally fine for a Diet Coke.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I don't know. Some people drink soda in the morning as like their coffee, which I feel like is just living life on the edge. I don't know.
I completely agree. It does have caffeine in it, but I don't know. I want a warm drink in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
I'm also not like an iced coffee person. I don't mind iced coffee sometimes, but if I'm getting a coffee, it's probably hot and it's always decaf.
Yes. Hot coffee in the morning. We've talked about this. Hot coffee in the morning. Iced coffee any other time of day. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be caffeinated, it needs to be caffeinated in the morning, because otherwise I won't sleep at night, because that's just who I am as a person.
No, it's totally true. I've even started drinking hot coffee in the afternoon. Scandalous.
Wow. Well, winter time is an exception, I feel.
I don't know if you can consider this winter.
That's fair. That's also fair. You're right.
I feel like it's kind of really bad now, because I could probably get away with that when we lived in Rhode Island, but in Florida, mm-hmm. drinking hot coffee at 76 degrees in the afternoon just seems a little weird.
No, I can't do that here either. So
I don't have an excuse for it. I don't know.
All right. So here we go. We're just going to jump right in to the lore.
Woo.
So in the summer of 1980, a Coca-Cola planning manager named Jack Carew.
I like the way you said it.
Thanks. Was tapped to lead a project that had been percolating within the company for 2 decades, but never came to fruition. to introduce a diet version of Coca-Cola.
Let's snaps and claps.
Yeah, the 80s were a good time for this. Okay. Until that, I'll forgive them for the shoulder pads, but like, because they made Diet Coke. But anyway,
we have rules.
Until that point, extending the Coca-Cola trademark to another brand had been a no-no, but times had changed. Quote, we needed a big idea to come out of the toughest decades we'd ever seen, Caro explains. Diet Coke was pegged a top priority, and the project was strictly top secret. Only a handful of senior executives knew about it, and team members had to agree to the assignment before getting the details. Quote, it was an entrepreneurial cloak and dagger operation in the purest sense, said Jerry Bell, who worked with Caro in the planning department. Quote, I remember getting this weird phone call from Jack and I couldn't say no.
Can I just say that I feel like this needs like duh, 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 yeah. Duh.
No, it really does. This is from their website. So it's like a little kitschy.
My name's Bond.
James Bond. Can you imagine if James Bond's special drink was Diet Coke?
All I want him to do is do a commercial with Diet Coke now. That would be fantastic.
So good.
Wait, is that the right theme song or am I thinking Mission Impossible?
You're thinking Mission Impossible. That's correct.
I've now combined them into one event. You're welcome.
It's fine. It's like basically the same.
I was going to say, people do not come for us for that comment. Okay?
They will. No, they will.
Anyway.
Within a few weeks, they presented a draft study to Coca-Cola USA president Brian Dyson, followed by Roberto Guzerta, who had been elected chairman and CEO just months earlier. President Don Q?
Sure.
And chief marketing officer Ike Herbert.
Those are some close names.
I know. So they greenlighted the Diet Coke project, which shifted quickly from planning to implementation. This was a difficult decision because there were two big risks, Caro said. TAB, which I had never heard of until I read this.
Mm-hmm.
It's capital T, lowercase a, capital B, was the moneymaker at the time. And that's a diet soda that happened that like was done by the Coca-Cola company before they did Diet Coke. Yeah. If Diet Coke turned out to be a disappointment, the company would seriously complicate its future. Second, if senior leadership said no to Diet Coke, then we likely would have lost the cola position. Because they're like, you know, competing with Pepsi Cola, right?
I have to show you a picture in a minute.
Okay. TAB was the OG Diet Cola made by Coke in 1963. Just FYI for everyone. What are you showing me? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Great. All right.
It's not bad, though. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. It's before my time.
Yeah.
Despite concern that Diet Coke would cannibalize TAB, which was the number one diet soft drink brand in the United States at the time, and erode the long-term health of Coca-Cola trademark, the team's research concluded just the opposite. Colas accounted for 60% of all soft drink sales in the United States back then, but diets were growing three times faster than the rest of the category. Diet Coke was seen as the right product for the right time. Quote, we said Diet Coke would be more accretive. That's such a weird word to use.
Yeah.
To Coca-Cola brand value because we would source volume from the competition versus the Coke franchise, said Pat Garner, who joined the Diet Coke team with 10 years of bottler and field marketing experience. And we were right, quote unquote. Okay.
I will say very quickly.
Sure.
If people are curious, TAB, at least from what I can tell, wasn't that different either because they had a sugar-free, a caffeine-free, and it is literally, at least without formulation awareness, identical.
Yeah, right.
From what I can see.
Same vibes, different branding.
Exactly.
Right. So the team debated over whether or not to adopt the diet prefix because that's kind of a negative implication at this time, right?
Yeah.
And it still kind of is.
Yeah.
the label Nielsen had given to the relatively new category, because the term was used in names of two of its top three brands. Mm-hmm. Sugar-free was one alternative, but then many saw it as a slur on Coca-Cola's main ingredients, right? Because like sugar yeah. is in soda, right? Yeah. And light was already taken by a competitor brand.
Light Coke?
Light.
Or Coke Light?
Just light as in like a descriptor word of your soda.
Oh, you can't
use it. So they couldn't use the trademark, even if it was like a different base product.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They're really weirdly specific about trademarks.
I feel like Coke Light would have been fine. Now
it's not the same.
I know, because it's Diet Coke now. I just mean, if I were back then and I heard somebody go, oh yeah, Coke Light, I'd be like, okay.
No, I don't like it. It's not as nice sounding. I don't know.
Well, it's taken anyway. It's fine.
It's like Crystal Light, you know.
Oh.
I don't know if that was the competitive one at the time, but yeah.
A Crystal Light does sound very ethereal.
It sounds better, yeah, right? All right, Diet Coke was the most straightforward articulation of the promise of the brand. It just seemed like the logical answer, said John Farrell, who joined the team from corporate finance. I don't know, all these random men.
And they're just like, yeah, absolutely, let's do this thing. It's going to be huge.
Right. Going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
The equity of the Coca-Cola name promised the delivery of taste and diet, told you didn't have sugar or calories. For many years, the brand name was written and marketed as Diet Coke with a lowercase d to reinforce the positioning of the product. Coke's trademark lawyers wouldn't allow the uppercase D. Not the big D.
We can't have the big D.
Their reasoning.
Being in a courtroom, you're like, you can't put the big D on the can, okay? Can't have it. Small D's only. Anyway.
Good Lord. Anyway.
Size doesn't matter.
Diet with an uppercase D was a noun, and the use of a noun changed the name of the trademark. Use of the lowercase D was an adjective, and therefore did not alter on the legal basis of the trademark.
That's so specific.
Because Coke was already trademarked, so they had to work under the terms of the umbrella of the Coke. It's crazy. You know? Yeah.
The umbrella of the Coke.
Well, and like the fact that it's the 80s and there probably was actual Coke happening.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Anyway. A plan that pays. As the positioning began to come together, Pharrell built a, and this is not the P.H. Pharrell music producer,
it's not
by
Pharrell
the way.
Williams.
No. Built a financial model to demonstrate
James
the link
Bond,
between
Pharrell. We got big hitters in this game.
In this episode. Okay. To demonstrate the link between the brand's marketing activities and bottler revenue. The plan motivated the system and turned bottlers into full-fledged Diet Coke enthusiasts. John's model made us highly credible. We present our marketing plan to a bottler, and then he'd explain how it would pay out. The economics of Diet Coke were so unbelievably simple because it didn't have any sugar. When you remove the second highest cost item after aluminum cans, you can make the numbers trend pretty well. Diet Coke gave us dramatically accelerated growth in a growing category with a very high margin structure. The financial model gave Coca-Cola USA the confidence to invest in marketing the brand. Steve Norcia, a former executive at the McCann Erickson ad agency, and his team at SSCNB, a division of Interpublic, which is some ad company, apparently, crafted the ad campaign that would introduce and sustain Diet Coke in its first year. The initial can design included bold red letters against a white background with diagonal pinstripes. We positioned it as a great tasting soft drink that happens to have one calorie rather than a diet drink that tastes great. We thought this would broaden its appeal as the first diet soft drink to emphasize sheer pleasure and great taste, not just part of a diet regimen.
Right.
Yeah. I had a thought about this, and then it's gone now.
I have a couple of thoughts.
Go ahead. Tell me your thoughts.
Okay. So I would like to say that a lot of people crap on diet sodas because they have like
aspartame or the artificial sweeteners or whatever. But I will say, if you are needing an alternative because you're like, I don't want to drink this many sugary sodas that have this many calories in them, then diet sodas are a great introduction if you can stomach some of them and you like the taste of them. Obviously, don't force it, but I think it's a great option. But with that said, I would also like to say that anything that says zero calories, only it doesn't actually have zero calories. It just has negligible calories. And if you do eat or drink enough of them, it can add up. So if you drink an entire case of Diet Coke in a day, you will not have zero calories total. It's just zero calories because there's negligible calories for the one you're drinking. So,
well, and I would also like to just say that calorie, like as a unit of measure, is good when you're trying to like figure out what kind of, or like how much energy you're consuming per day. But literally the definition of a calorie is like how, like they, like how much it takes to burn it, basically.
Right. Which and you don't have to earn your food.
Right.
And you don't need to worry about burning enough. I know we're going into the diet culture now, but
we
diet,
are. We are.
The word diet, it for a lot of this time frame and in through the early 90s and 2000s, even now, it was running rampant. And so it's very important to know that, like, you don't, number one, don't worry about it too much. But also, if you can incorporate diet sodas, it doesn't mean that you're on a diet or you have to be on a diet or whatever.
Right.
It just might be a good alternative if you need something to satiate the soda.
Right. And it's more about, and this is the last thing I'll say, it's more about the quality of the calories and what's in them than it is about the amount of calories. And if you need a sweet treat and you want it to be no calories, then a diet soda is perfect for you. If you want some calories, then that's fine too. Like, who cares?
Who cares?
It's not a big deal.
It's all moderation.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soapbox over.
Anyway. Okay. So according to Pharrell, the resulting just for the taste of it tagline communicated everything everyone needed to know about the physical product. This vision drove the team's Diet Coke decision-making on everything from packaging graphics to in-store merchandising to billboards, and it became their mantra.
And I would agree with it.
So I think it's interesting too, because if you know anything, if you've ever had Diet Coke versus like regular Coke, you know it tastes different.
It does.
It's not the same exact taste. But I think, like, because Diet Coke and regular Coke don't taste similar, they're like, in my mind, two separate drinks. However, Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper, I think, taste very similarly.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've had Dr. Pepper.
I think they are the best. If you're looking for something to imitate the sugary drink, Dr. Pepper does it better than Coke. But Coke, in my, like I said, in my mind, is more of like, Diet Coke is one thing. Coke is a regular, a different thing.
Yeah. And look, I understand the people that say that they want regular Coke. That's fine. I got Tyler on Coke Zero, and that's
Coke Zero tastes more like regular Coca-Cola than Diet Coke.
Yeah. And he drinks the cherry Coke Zero sugars all the time. So there are options if you're not a Diet Coke person, you know?
Totally. Diet Coke existed only on paper for months, but mock-ups of the initial packaging graphics gave the brand a visual identity. The team built a makeshift grocery aisle inside an abandoned syrup factory next to the company's headquarters to see how the designs would work on the shelf alongside other brands. At that point, it became very real, Bell said. The winning design included bold red letters against a white background with diagonal pinstripes, revealing a shiny silver aluminum.
That's very cute, actually.
Aluminium, as the British people say.
Aluminium.
I love saying it that way, though. It's so fun.
It's
anyway,
very fun.
So the core Diet Coke demographic was baby boomers who were getting 20 years older and 20 pounds heavier. We had an in-depth knowledge of our target consumer and the issue of weight in America. It all added up to the total impression of better experience in the diet segment than the consumer had been getting. SSC&B extensive consumer research revealed several key insights that steered the brand's marketing strategy. We asked people which celebrities they thought would drink Diet Coke, and they responded with names of very masculine movie stars.
Like James Bond.
That gave us the enthusiasm and verification to go after men.
Surprise, I'm a girl.
I'm a girl. It's a girl thing.
I'm literally just a girl.
I'm literally just a girl. Behind the scenes, researchers had been working for more than 2 years to formulate a new low-calorie soft drink worthy of sharing the Coca-Cola name. And while extensive consumer taste tests revealed that Diet Coke was preferred over the competition, both were sweetened with the only approved non-caloric sweetener at the time, saccharin.
Cute.
This meant that Diet Coke needed to get a leg up by playing up its taste. The strength of the Coca-Cola name had a keen understanding of the social psychology of the target consumer through packaging and advertising. Diet Coke's introductory tagline communicated everything anyone needed to know about the product and became the team's mantra. Coke's regulatory team predicted that the Food and Drug Administration would approve aspartame by 1985. Oh. Several executives wanted to ride the wave of the industry by waiting until the standard sweetener was available to launch Diet Coke. Quote, we knew aspartame was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. Our counter argument to those who wanted to wait was differentiate or die. We had to get out in front. This is very cloak and dagger. We had to get out in front. Either the market or the saccharin base had an advantage of the awareness and acceptance of the event. In short, we had to succeed with brand power and bottler system power. So they said, we're just going to put it out into the universe. Yeah. And aspartame obviously got, you know, accepted by the Food and Drug Administration, and now we have Diet Coke that we know today.
Got accepted by the FDA and then got ripped to shreds by like influencers.
Everyone else. So the six lead markets were New York, Jacksonville, Florida, San Diego and Minneapolis, Denver and Baltimore. They were selected to like debut the brand, and they rolled out slowly to hopefully spark some friendly competition. And for example, they wanted Los Angeles to keep an eye on what New York was doing because they set the standard, you know, and just kind of make other people jealous.
Fair enough.
So that's the lore.
Love it.
I think we have a little bit more of that in the second half, and then we'll kind of go from there.
That's amazing. I'm loving this so far. This has made me very happy.
I'm so glad.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Blair.
Do you have cats?
Why, yes, I do.
Then you should play mediocre content for your cats.
And why is that?
Because it has been shown to soothe cats and reduce hairballs.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I play mediocre content for my cats, too. Mediocre content is for all pets.
That's so great to know. I will play mediocre content for my cats right now.
You should. Everyone should listen to mediocre content with their pets today.
Mediocre content has not been shown to reduce hairballs or soothe any animals of any species. In fact, it's very probable to create the exact opposite effect. Please use caution while exposing your furry friends to mediocre content. It's also pretty dodgy for humans, so listen at your own risk. Mediocre content is not responsible for any negative effects of podcast listening.
Welcome back. Welcome to your back. Diet Coke podcast.
That's right.
Not sponsored.
Ooh, can you imagine?
Oh, I would love that. The way that I would love that. Oh, my God. The way
that I would be on that so hard.
That would. Oh, my God. Anyway. Mm. All right. So Coca-Cola held a high profile press conference in New York City on January 8th, 1982.
July.
Okay.
You said January.
I did. I was like, I thought I said July.
July. No. It's July, I promise.
I'm sorry. I can't read, you guys. All right. July 8th, 1982. Reporters at the Hyatt Hotel, where Dyson announced that the most significant new product introduction in the entire 96-year history of the Coca-Cola company would be available in the Big Apple within days.
And this is not the Dyson vacuum person. This is a different Dyson.
As far as we know, that's correct.
As we know, a lot of heavy hitters.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the people who did the vacuum and the hand dryer in the bathroom and the hair dryer?
Yes.
Also, and now the straightener. Diet Coke.
Yes. Yeah. And the air wrap or whatever. Oh, and he makes fans now.
So anyway. It's wild to me that they made a pivot from vacuums to hair dryers.
It's the opposite. All I have to say. Instead of
anyway, a week later, before the first case had been delivered, 75% of the area's population was aware of the Diet Coke's imminent introduction. This awareness, fueled by mounting bottler enthusiasm, gave the brand a big head start. Diet Coke's first TV commercial had to define the character of the brand and make a bold statement. Dyson told Mal McDougall, SSCNB's creative director, that he expected the advertising equivalent of putting a man on the moon.
Okay.
That's a little much. It's a soda. Relax.
Right.
Carew arrived at the office one morning, having just heard the news that Princess Diana had given birth to Prince William. After kicking around the idea with the team, he called Norcia and asked him if Diet Coke could be positioned as heir to the throne of Coca-Cola.
What is happening?
I don't know. Steve bounced it off Mal, who came to Atlanta a few days later, which is the headquarters of Coke, by the way, to show us how the heir to the throne metaphor could translate into a TV commercial. After seeing the storyboards, Brian said, "My socks just fell down."
Keep your socks on, Brian.
This is inappropriate for work.
This is not okay.
The spot was filmed on July 29th.
You really want it to be January. I mean, it is almost January in real
I know.
Life,
so. I'm a mess. Anyway, July 29th, 1982, at Radio City Music Hall in New York, after a gala event for bottlers and key customers. The ad carried the mystique of the Academy Awards with the brand's name in lights on the Radio City marquee, footage of the famous Rockettes performing on stage, and the voiceover, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world premiere of the great new soft drink called Diet Coke."
They went all out for this.
They did. They did indeed.
I wanted Diet Coke to wear a cape at this point.
Literally. Yep. Quote, "We wanted to make it clear that Diet Coke was a new product no one had ever seen before. When the advertising broke, we went to all the major TV stations in New York and brought cases of Diet Coke in for the staff to drink so that they could celebrate with us. Team Diet Coke, who took the spectacle from the third balcony, stayed at Radio City until about 4 a.m. when production finally wrapped after 42 takes. By the end, I think the Rockettes had been on stage for 6 straight hours," Garner remembers.
Good grief. And those ladies already do extensive dancing.
Yes, they do.
During the holiday season.
Yes, they do. But it was July, so.
Right, but it was July, so it wasn't January, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's so funny. They both start with J, it's fine.
I'm so sorry. Anyway. All right. Months later, Nielsen reported the first market share for Diet Coke in Denver. Carew jotted down the data and went to the company auditorium where Dyson was holding a meeting with bottlers. Again, just a bunch of random men.
Yeah, they're just all together.
Quote, "I walked across the stage and handed him a piece of paper," Carew recalls. "The room turned into a celebration. Cheers, whistles, hugs, bravos. The news lit a fuse. Who could beat Denver? No one ever did. But the series of once-in-a-lifetime bottler rollouts soon followed with great fanfare. The success of the launch showed the greatness of the entire Coca-Cola system. Our bottlers truly understand what it takes to make an indulgent impulse product launch a success."
Yeah.
"So much of what Diet Coke did was excite and motivate the bottling system, which goes back to John's model. By the end of 1983, Diet Coke was the number one diet soft drink in the United States and the top soft drink brand among women," obviously. At the end of 1984, Diet Coke displaced 7-Up as the number three soft drink in the U.S. behind Coca-Cola and Pepsi, a position it held until the end of 2010 when it overtook Pepsi at the end of the 80s advertising age, named Diet Coke brand of the decade.
I would like to mention one little thing, if I may.
Yep.
I wanted to see what the original Diet Coke can looked like. with the little
pinstripes. Is it ugly?
No, it's very cute. My favorite thing is that on the can, it specifically says saccharin free. So they went all out because they knew they were using aspartame. And it literally says it 100% saccharin free.
Of course it does.
That's great. Of course it does. They thought of everything. Also, it it pulled up the one that used to have the bubbles on it.
I like the one with the bubbles on it. Yeah, I like the one with the bubbles on it. That one's nice. Also, the fact that it held the third position until 2010, and then it just bumped up to the second position ahead of Pepsi.
Yeah, just
it never like wavered at all. No. So it's Coke, Diet Coke, then Pepsi.
We know what's best.
Pepsi, you could suck it. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Pepsi. I will drink a Diet Pepsi if I have to.
I will. But... No, I will. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunately the movie theater we go to only has Pepsi, so I have to settle with Diet Pepsi, and it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. At least the machines that are around now, they've got like, I've really enjoyed the Coke machines where you can like pick the flavor because it's the only place I can have caffeine-free vanilla Diet Coke
at the
machine. And it's amazing.
1,000%. Yeah. No, those things are the best.
Yes. I want one in my house, like now.
I will tell you a small story really quick.
Please.
We went to the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta because that's where my in-laws live.
Nice.
And they, like, at the end, so you go through the museum, and at the end of the museum, you go into this big room, and there's like a bunch of different like fountains where you can try all the different Coca-Cola products from all over the world.
Nice.
And so this isn't a specifically Diet Coke story, but like it was cool to like see all the different flavors and stuff. It was very nice.
They must have a smaller version of that at Epcot
because probably
they have. So if you don't know, in the Orlando Disney Springs and Epcot, they also have Coca-Cola stores, which is where I got my amazing shirt. But at Epcot, they have a very mini version of that. And Tyler was tasting them and he said how terrible they tasted.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I feel like it's just because you're used to this also.
I think some of them tasted better. I can't remember which ones, but like some of them tasted better because they had real like cane sugar as opposed to like high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. It just gives it a different flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway. All right. Cool. So. The success of the brand demonstrated the importance of trusting people to do their jobs and to take risks. Let's see. So, and teamwork and entrepreneurial spirit are important too. Garner says, yes, each of us can do great things as individuals, but we worked as a team, blah, blah, blah. They created Diet Coke. It's
teamwork makes the dream work.
Whatever. Yeah. All right. So just as a fun little recap, in September 8th of 1982, Diet Coke was introduced, also known as Coca-Cola Light in some countries.
Woo!
So they did go with Coke Light. Okay.
I like it.
Much dismay of many drug dealers, it was not.
I mean,
it was not what they thought it was going to be.
No, they're like, man, I was really hoping for a Diet Coke.
Yeah. Introduced as a low calorie alternative to Coca-Cola. Obviously, the aspartame was used as a sweetener, yada, yada, yada. The other thing I will say, too, there's a shop in New York, a soda shop in New York that has the original Coke syrup. And they are sold the original syrup, and they mix it themselves with the carbonation as opposed to having it come out in like one... stream, I guess, like a regular fountain. So they mix it like the old way, like they used to, where you would get the syrup and the carbonated water and you mix it like a bartender.
I also heard that McDonald's has a special
flavor. I don't know if that's true. That could be a conspiracy. I will say,
but it does taste different.
The way the way that Diet Coke from McDonald's hits.
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
If that's not
the case,
I don't know why.
So yeah. I think it's true. I think that or McDonald's does have a specific formulation of
their Coke products.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it goes better with like the taste of their food.
I think so. You can't convince me otherwise.
I agree. No, I agree. And I think, and like, obviously I'm sure like somewhere down the line, the CEO of McDonald's and the CEO of Coca-Cola like knew each other and like you know, probably went to the same boarding school or Harvard or like whatever it was.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
like they were like, hey, let's make a deal. Let's do it.
Yeah. Just like Pharrell Williams, the Dyson Man, and James Bond.
Exactly. Because it all comes together.
The Trinity. No,
all right. So in 1984, there was the first celebrity endorsement. Diet Coke's first celebrity endorsement was from actress and model Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark.
Wow.
She appears in an ad promoting the drink and tells viewers, it's light and it's refreshing and it's positively sexy.
I mean, I've never felt sexier than sipping on a Diet Coke, let me tell you.
Girl, same. Girl, same. Woo. Maybe even like maybe... There are a couple things that top that. One is getting my nails done. I really feel like I'm doing something with my life after getting my nails done.
It does feel nice.
And then in my wedding dress, I think.
Okay.
And then so, otherwise,
all we need to do here, we just need to put you in your wedding dress, go to the nail salon, get your nails done while drinking a Diet Coke from McDonald's.
I'm unstoppable. I am taking on the world. Like there, I am the next female CEO in that moment. Like there is no,
she's Miss Universe at that point.
Yeah, she is. She's unstoppable. Watch out.
It's beautiful.
Anyway. All right. So in 1990, Diet Coke with lemon is finally introduced.
Ew.
Okay. Ew. Ma'am. She just, for the listener, she just spent 15 minutes searching for lime,
found it,
sugar-free syrup to put in her Diet Coke.
Not sponsored. It's skinny syrup.
Okay. All right. So
but not lemon.
I understand, but I'm just saying.
Ew.
It's similar. It's in the citrus family.
Don't talk about my citrus.
All right.
I should have gotten orange.
Ew.
I'm in Florida.
Did you wait? No, but like, have you tried the orange vanilla Coke?
No, I don't like regular Coke.
Okay. Yeah. So Chris wanted to try it. It tastes not good. It tastes like a creamsicle and Coca-Cola had a baby.
I like how you could have just said it tastes bad, but you went with it tastes
not good.
Not good. It tastes the worst.
It doesn't taste bad necessarily. Mm. Like I'll drink it, but it's like not.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I want to try, if I liked regular Coke, I also wanted to try the Oreo one that they came out with.
Oh, we tried that too. It was awful. It was so bad.
It was not good.
It was awful. No, that one was truly the worst. They should never have done that. I don't know why they did that.
This was not a Diet Coke moment.
No. Diet Coke would never do that to me.
She would never betray me like that.
She would never betray me like that. All right. Okay. So 1990 Diet Coke with lemon. It becomes very popular. Still is sold today.
Where?
Other flavors. Great question. Other flavors include lime, cherry, vanilla.
This is what pains me. I know. I wish all of those other flavors. Lemon can go on a hill and never be seen again. Bring me back the lime, the cherry, and the vanilla in Diet Coke flavors, please. And if you could do it one step further and make it caffeine free. I'm on the train.
They could.
I'm on the
they
boat.
Just don't want
they
to.
They could. That's they just
too
don't
much.
Want to.
Yeah. No, it's probably just too expensive for them to do that.
Ridiculous.
All right. So in 2018, Diet Coke gets a new look with new packaging and a new marketing campaign. And the new packaging features a slimmer can with bold, vibrant colors. And the marketing campaign focuses on the idea that Diet Coke is a drink for people who want to live life on their own terms.
All right.
Yeah,
I mean
that's what I'm saying.
As somewhat of an introvert, I would disagree with that. I just want to live.
I think that's the baseline for most people.
The tagline should be, "I just want to live."
It should be living life in like that Matthew McConaughey.
No, it should be living like Larry. Living like Larry. Living it up Gary's way.
Yes.
Blam, just across the side. They should have had us on their marketing team.
No, what is the song SpongeBob sings? It's
serving
like
it up Gary's way.
Way. Yeah. No, but what's the beginning? What's the beginning part?
I'm pretty sure he just goes da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. No. Hold on, I'll look it up.
No, I need to know now.
Serving it up. Serving it up. Carrie's Way song.
No, there's, yeah, because he's like serving him breakfast or something.
Oh, the most important meal of the day.
Of the day.
Serving it up Carrie's Way. Woo-hoo. And then the blah.
Yeah.
No, that was heard around the world.
Yeah. Gary was sick, not feeling good.
Oh, man. Well, this was delightful.
This episode is everything you're looking for. SpongeBob references. Talks of Mission Impossible / James Bond
are clearly different things.
The mini flavors of Diet Coke. A nice debate about Coke versus Pepsi, which Pepsi loses like by a large amount.
Agreed.
And cats. So,
and cats, yeah.
As always,
I do have a complaint. However, outside of the lemon flavor apparently being the only one sold nowadays.
Okay.
One of my complaints is actually. And maybe it's just specific to the ones I've encountered, but tell me why. Tell me why. If Diet Coke is so like good and like so popular, why is it when I go to the Coca-Cola stores, it's so limited in variety of Diet Coke memorabilia? Okay. You can find Cherry Coke in every language from Japanese to Korean advertisements. Mm-hmm. You can find Diet Coke vanilla in a mug.
Yes.
I don't understand why, like, it was this shirt and one other shirt and one hat. Tell me why.
And it's the second most popular soda.
And the second most popular soda. And I have this much limited image. I want Diet Coke everything. Okay. I don't understand. I'm sure some people make it. Like, I know they had like the little Diet Coke earrings and that's cute or whatever, but I want variety. I want Diet Coke tank tops. The tank top I bought just has the Coca-Cola company on it, which is cute, but I want it in Diet Coke.
Oh, I have some news. I have some news.
Okay, what's the news?
So the news based on Google AI is the top 10 most popular sodas in the United States by volume share in the market are Coke, obviously, Dr. Pepper,
ew,
Pepsi.
Excuse me?
Tied with Dr. Pepper for second place.
Don't eat Tide Pops.
Sprite. And then Diet Coke.
I'm going to have to take a disagree.
I would never choose Sprite over Diet Coke. Wait. No, this is... Listen to this. There's more. Okay. Okay. So then there's Mountain Dew. Fine.
Okay, sure.
Coke Zero. Fine. Okay. Diet Pepsi, whatever, Fanta, and then Canada Dry ginger ale.
Coming in strong.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? Oh, that's good. You know what's really funny? That's my grandma's favorite ginger ale.
Everybody's grandma, apparently.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's not acceptable behavior.
This is okay. America's ruined. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm literally, so just to soothe myself, I'm now on the Coca-Cola store website.
Oh, good.
Looking at Diet Coke. Oh my gosh. So this is what's frustrating though. They do have a crop sparkly Diet Coke t-shirt that I would love, but it's only in junior sizes. Excuse me. The average female would love to wear this sparkly rhinestones Diet Coke crop top. I'm one of them. Give it to me now.
So, okay. I will say that my first complaint with the Coca-Cola company as a brand is not their lack of size inclusivity. However, it does make the list.
Absolutely. I'm upset. I do... The one thing that pisses me off the most, I'm sorry, I'm just scrolling through here. The thing that makes me mad is there is a Diet Coke koozie that you could put over your Diet Coke. It doesn't change anything. Give me the t-shirts. What do I want to pretend that every drink I drink is a Diet Coke now?
So first of all, I think Diet Coke needs to let us do their merch.
Yes.
Also, I think that they should collab with another brand to do merch as well.
Yes.
Which they might have already done and I just missed it. But I think that's the move. Like, that's, you know how like Barbie you know, collabed with all of those brands. Wicked collabed with like a billion brands. Diet Coke needs to do the same thing.
It's Forever 21 and American Eagle.
Oh.
Yeah. Not as cute. And it looks like Altered State at one point, but I don't know if they still do that.
I think Abercrombie would have been a better choice for them.
I want a makeup palette of Diet Coke.
I don't. Thank you for that.
I want it to smell like the McDonald's Diet Coke.
No. I don't think anything that is scented that goes on my face is worth it.
I mean, normally I would also agree. Oh, apparently they did one with Walmart too. Okay. It's not very cute.
All right.
Actually, this one's kind of, I don't know. It's not what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, with all of that, this has been great.
It's been lovely.
I'm so glad that we rounded out the year with the giggling and the discussion of one of the best things ever created, apparently by the Room of Dudes, that just came
in
together
the 1980s.
One day in the 1980s of all different backgrounds. And we're like, we're going to make the world's best drink. And then they did it. So snaps and claps. We hope that you guys had a wonderful holiday season. We hope you have a happy new year. We're excited to bring you new content in January.
Yes.
So please make sure you're following us on all our different channels. Obviously, you can send us emails if you have questions, comments, concerns, or topic suggestions in our new year. We're still accepting those at mediocrecontentpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send it over to Instagram or TikTok. We will be returning to YouTube in the new year, so please make sure you're subscribed over there. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to us, and we will see you in 2025.
This has been Mediocre Content.
Thanks so much for listening.
Cheers.
Cheers.